The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, your home for inspiring conversations with outdoor insiders. Each week, author, speaker, adventurer, and outdoor industry veteran Rick Saez talks in-depth with iconic brand founders, sales and marketing pros, product designers, and industry rising stars. Listen in when Rick's guests offer actionable advice to land your ideal industry gig and grow your outdoor career. Catch us again when the conversation shifts to the hottest outdoor products, destinations, and the latest industry insights. And now, here's Rick.
Welcome to episode 275 of the Outdoor Biz Podcast with Travis Titus from Titus Adventure Company and Tack Rentals, brought to you this month by Grammarly. Travis and I talk about his inspiration to help more of you have great outdoor adventures. He tells us about his complete packages that allow you to live the van life for a week or weekend, then hand the keys and gear back to him to be cleaned and prepped for the next adventurous folks. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to catch up with you this morning. What's going on? You're in Colorado, right?
In Colorado, yeah, it's starting to feel like spring. We had about a foot of snow last week, and now it's going to be into the 60s.
Wow.
And I'm really excited to get ready for the spring camping season.
Yeah. Spring, a busier season for you than winter?
Yeah, it is. Winter, we do our vehicle rentals are mainly for getting people from the airport up to the ski areas. Mm-hmm. And it's a great service because we guarantee snow tires on our vehicles and four-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. But it's just not as popular as our kind of camping offering, which really kicks off in the springtime, head to the desert, and then transitions into the camping in the Rockies, in the high country.
How about spring, summer, and fall? I lived in Louisville for a while. It's beautiful that time of year there. Those three seasons are fabulous.
Yeah, it really is. And even, deep into fall, I mean, we had people going out in November.
Yeah.
You know, if you're willing to deal with a little bit of a cold snap every now and then, that you can have places to yourself.
Right.
It's just a gorgeous time to be.
And do you get a lot of folks that go to Utah as well?
Yeah. We definitely send a lot of people, again, the shoulder seasons to that Moab area. Over Christmas, we had customers, they went on a 2-week trip. They went Utah all the way down to Tucson and Arizona, did this big loop and got a little bit warmer weather.
Yeah. I've done that loop. It's great. You go down there through Kanab and then over through, I forget the name of the other town in Utah where that other national, God, I'm losing my memory here, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they got all those great national parks. These guys went to Lake Powell, camped at the beach there, and then all the way down to Sedona.
You hit the wave. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
I was very envious.
Yeah, I'll bet. How were you introduced to the outdoors? How'd you get excited about outdoor activities?
Yeah, I grew up here in Colorado. I was born and raised in Colorado Springs, and so did everything you might expect a young Coloradan to do growing up. I was out camping with my family and biking and fishing and hunting, and just that was what we did. It ended up being funny that my sister really shied away from the outdoors when she realized she had a choice to opt out. But I really dove into it and loved it, and was big game hunting with my dad when I was 7. And, and just been doing it ever since. And then I was really lucky too. I went to a school where we had an outdoor ed program.
Oh, really?
And so during the week, you do training, running, and do some kind of maps, orientation classes there on campus. And then a lot of weekends, it was like these epic trips. We were climbing Cresto Needle in the wintertime and going to slot canyons in April. And I just thought that's what everybody did. And then I realized later, I had a really unbelievably
what school
experience.
Was that?
It's called Fountain Valley, and it's in Colorado Springs. It's a private school. It does have some boarding students as well. I was a day student. We had that. Given we were a private school, we could do these really unique trips.
Yeah.
And had a couple teachers that were just really passionate about the outdoors and would take us on these crazy trips.
That's
and
awesome.
One for spring break one year, we skied across the Sierras, started at Mammoth and popped out at Yosemite.
Wow, perfect.
Just some pretty unbelievable stuff. But again, looking back, wow, that was really special.
That's it's pretty unique. Yeah, I was a river guide on the Kern River for a while, and we had a couple of private schools come up from L.A. and spend their spring break with us, and we do the same kind of thing in the summertime. So we do backpacking and rock climbing and rafting and stuff. But yeah, it's pretty unique.
Yeah, it's nice to have that flexible schedule. Our spring break was like 2 weeks long.
Right.
So yeah, you could really take a big bite out of a trip.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that really planted the seed for sure. And a part of the reason starting kind of an adventure business is like, I want to help other people have those experiences. Mm-hmm. I want to help people that didn't have their parents teaching them how to do certain activities to try to break down some of those barriers that really was handed to me.
So tell us about Titus Adventure Company. What do you guys do and how does it work?
Yeah, exactly. We're an adventure vehicle rental business and we're based in Denver. So we're all about helping you get into the mountains by providing you with kind of a turnkey package. So that's vehicle plus gear plus trip planning. And so our vehicles, we offer overland rig 4x4 SUVs and trucks. And we also actually just acquired some camper vans. So we've got a broad fleet there. And the process is really pretty simple. Our website allows people to book directly there. You can see the details for each vehicle. We've done some kind of virtual walkthroughs where it's a video kind of showing you every feature of the car. Really get some details on it, like what specs, if you really want to know exactly what kind of lift we have or what tires or whatever. Right. You can see a lot of, drill down and get a lot of detail.
Pretty detailed. Yeah, I was on there this morning. Yeah. Good job.
You know, part of the reason for that was if I myself wanted to rent one of these vehicles and feel confident that it had everything I needed, I want to know exactly what's on it. And same with the gear. Like, I want to know exactly, because if I'm flying and I'm like, well, do I need to pack this or do they have it?
Right.
To make that decision, I need to know everything about it.
Yeah. No, that's good. You're right. That's you do a lot of details and people can basically show up with their duffel bag of clothes and go. You can provide almost everything. Nearly
that's
everything.
A lot what we see. Particularly flying in, it's bring your suitcase and a grocery list and you're set. And so once you book a trip and kind of pick your dates and cars, we deal with all the packing and gear prep and make sure, as a family, I got two kids, like, you're short on time a lot of times. Everybody's short, even if you don't have kids.
Everybody's like, short on time, seems like.
You know, so you're not worried about, like, before the trip, like, oh, counting matches, like, oh, or did I fill our propane stove up, or is it working? Like, we take care of a lot of that sort of prep time. And then you come to our shop for an orientation where we walk you through the setup of vehicles and gear and make sure you feel really comfortable and are a pro using the gear. Mm-hmm. And then you hit the road. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, the hardest part is coming back. You do have to come back at the end of the trip.
So when people just drop it off, they just drop it off and then you guys do all the cleaning and stuff too?
Exactly.
Wow. Basically,
you get your stuff out of the car and you walk away. And so then we take care of all the cleanup, the maintenance, just leave you free of that burden.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bet you have some stories about that.
People have been really fantastic. I think they see how well we take care of our vehicles and our gear.
Yeah.
And they want to do the same. I've had multiple people bring it back after they go to the car wash with it. They're it's just so muddy and dirty. No, like, I want to see it. Let's take a picture of how muddy you got it.
Yeah. How much fun did you have?
It shows that people are like, oh, I couldn't bring it back. Or some people are like, we'll go and buy. We had one guy during the winter, like, he went and bought extra glass cleaner because he was like, he just says, the glass was so dirty. And so he cleaned all the windshields for me. Like, I've been really impressed with how people have been treating the vehicles and gear. And
that's very cool. That's good to hear. Yeah, that's awesome. And you probably, your customers are probably outdoor folks anyway, so they're used to doing that, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would say so. We've definitely seen a lot of people this last year, particularly that we haven't been camping in 10 years. Mm. Like, you just have all the stuff for us. This seems like the best way to do it. And so they're just thrilled to have a one-stop shop solution for getting them out easily. They don't have to buy the stuff. That was a big piece of our business in 2020.
What kind of
people looking to get out?
Sorry, what kind of trip planning do you guys do? Do you actually, if someone calls you and says, hey, look, we don't know where to go, we've never been there, can you just plan a route for us? Do you do that?
Yeah, we do. We offer a couple different layers of trip planning services. Mm. The first that's included with the car rental is you might say, hey, I'm headed to the Aspen area. We were thinking about going over this pass and we were thinking about camping in this area. And I'll be like, yeah, Rick, this is a great idea. Hey, you might check out this road to get to the campsite. And then I typically, if I have a few recommendations, I'll drop them a couple of pins. Of, hey, check out this dispersed car camping site and just help guide people, but they have the majority of it that they want, that they already know what they want to do.
And they're totally set up to disperse camp or camp in a campground with your gear. You set them up for, you have everything really to be off the grid. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly our overland kind of SUVs. We really are pushing people like, don't do the camp, go do some free camping, go get out of the grind and find some open space. But that can be daunting too for people that aren't used to that style of camping. Where am I going to go? What if it's not there? So that's why we do try to, hey, here's a couple of campsites we know of in the area that there may be somebody there. There may not be. This spot has some areas that you'll be able to camp.
That's cool.
And then our second kind of tier of trip planning is much more sort of detailed, full itinerary, where we might work with you, Rick, and fill out a survey of where you want to go, type of trip you want to be on, places your activities you want to do. And then we'll create a proposed route, kind of do a little back and forth on it. And then, once we've set, I create it in Google Maps and then export it to you so you can have it on your phone. Uh-huh. And then we also do like a full typed up itinerary where it's like day one, you're going from Denver to Crested Butte. It's X number of miles, so many, and then, what percentage of that is going to be on a dirt road? How long we think it's going to take you? Here's a couple hikes to do. And then once you start getting more off the beaten path, we'll almost do turn by turn. And because the last thing I want is somebody getting lost back there. And so if I am really, and I go pretty, with these customer itineraries, like I'll send people way out in the
That's great.
And so I want to make sure it's real detailed of go here, take a right on this Forest Service road. And the feedback we've gotten is like, Travis, you told us to turn on this dirt road. And then you said, go another 10 miles. And they're like, we never would have gone there had you not told us to do that. And it was unbelievable. And
you've been
so that's
there.
Been
you
really
know
fun.
Yeah. And you know how it is. Sometimes you get out there and is this map really right? Is this, and sometimes you've missed the great spot because you didn't go that 10 miles. You took the road at 7 miles or whatever.
Yeah. So that's a big piece of kind of what we try to do is scouting. And that's, I've got a lifetime of knowledge of the state. By no means do I know every place, not even close, but I've got some good competency on most of the state, and people are just thrilled to get out there and have that opportunity to not have to do a lot of trip planning. They just show up and go.
That's perfect. So were there any other inspirations to start the adventure company other than your activities as a youngster?
Yeah, it was a mix of, my outdoor passion, but also a bigger personal need. And that sort of was how to reduce my carbon footprint, but still enjoy the Colorado outdoor lifestyle. Do you have any guess of what the main contributors to your personal carbon footprint are?
I got to think it's fuel, vehicle related.
Yeah. So it's one third is transportation and another third is housing. Yep. And then the other third is broken up in food and different services. Mm-hmm, your personal transportation is a big chunk of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it was an aha moment where I got two young kids, a dog. We were going camping in the mountains a couple of years ago, coming back in our 4Runner. And my wife and I were driving and talking about, we need a bigger car because we were just loaded. Like top carry was packed.
Right.
Dog could barely breathe back there. Like the rear facing car seats, like you just don't stand a chance. So we're like, we really need like a Sequoia, something bigger for these weekend adventures. My wife's like, yeah, but I just don't want to drive that during the week. You don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder if we could rent something. Like, could we rent these type of vehicles? And so that plus seeing on the road, we were coming back on I-70 on the mountains after a Labor Day weekend.
Right.
And the cars on the road are the lifted 4Runner with the big tires and the rooftop tent. And you're thinking to myself, like, oh, okay. This weekend, those cars went and crushed it. They did what they were built to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where they're headed right now? They're headed back to an apartment complex to sit and probably not fit in the parking garage and be a waste in the city.
Or worse, if they're using that vehicle on a 10-mile commute to work every day or longer,
That's what people do. Because currently there were no other solutions. Right. If you want to go explore the mountains, like, you have to own that vehicle. Yeah. So this is a way to change that. So it's that seed on that trip. Got home that night. It was like, oh, okay, I wonder if, let me see if I could rent kind of these type of vehicles. Because when I go hunting, like, I need to know this vehicle can do exactly what I need it to do. And you can look around, Enterprise, yeah, they got a truck, maybe sometimes. Right. If you go and hunt deer hunting and you show up and they're like, the truck is gone, we got a Nissan Rogue for you. You're like, no, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
So I saw this window of like, huh, this doesn't exist right now. And this would allow a service that allows you to rent adventure vehicles the times you need it would really allow people to change their car ownership.
Yeah.
And so just the idea just really stuck. I was a mechanical engineer, and so I was doing engineering, loved it, and but was looking for something new and a little bit of what I wanted, something bigger of what am I doing in the world? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's once you start to have kids, you start to ask those questions or whatever.
Well, I think as you get older too, you realize that, Jesus, this thing's not going to be around much longer if we keep doing what we're doing.
So I was just looking for that next step anyway. Mm-hmm. And this just started checking all the boxes of this is how I make my impact on the world. This is my solution to climate change. Right, and then this is how I'm going to get back into the outdoor industry and share my passion for the outdoors.
Good on you, man. That's great.
Yeah. So just couldn't shake it. As an engineer, I'd had a lot of like product invention ideas and, oh, this would be great, I'm going to start this. And then I'd do a quick Google search. Oh, somebody's already made this. Dang it. And then you stop. And this wasn't, I never hit that roadblock. Mm-hmm. Oh, this has already been done. So I just kept grinding on it kind of at night. I kept my day job for a little bit and then had a business plan and saw the financial model and was like, all right, here we go. We're going to do this.
Right on. That's very cool. Where did that entrepreneurial spirit come from? Are there any entrepreneurs in your family? Because in addition to thinking through and being on trend with the rent versus own consumer, you also have to realize the business side of it and figure all that stuff out.
Yeah, no, that was totally out of left field. By no means was I, never in high school and college was like, I just really want to start my own business. Uh-huh. Like, that was just never on my radar. But you just start to see the potential in terms of your, it's funny to talk about work-life balance because I was working at 11 o'clock last night, but it allows me to pick and choose. I might go skiing tomorrow with my kid. Like, I have that opportunity. And so that being self-employed had that appeal of, okay, I'm willing to put in the hours when I need to, but then it also gives me some flexibility. So that was a really like eye-opening, this would be tremendous. But it definitely, coming from a pure engineering background, like I had never written a business plan. I had never seen a profit.
And nobody in your family had started businesses? There's none of that? You didn't have that to call?
Not particularly. We did have there is kind of a family business back in Texas in the insurance industry. Right. My great-grandfather started that, and my grandfather worked there. My uncle worked there. But I really wasn't tapped into that in terms of mentors or just learning how the business worked. But since starting it, like, we do have these resources. I do have family members that have gone through a lot of this. I worked a lot with the Small Business Development Center. They have a great office in Boulder. Mm-hmm. And so that was a great sort of place to start, where they had classes you could go to, and they have mentors that donate their time. And so met with a lady that helped me with financial stuff. And that was a good start. And then just faking it till I make it here.
Yeah, we all do that. Yeah, we have that small business program here in the Eastern Sierra too. A good friend of mine, Jim Thompson, is the main consultant that they have. And he's helping a lot of small businesses up and down the east side of the Sierra. It's out of Bakersfield, the main office, but he covers the east side of Sierra. They have some great resources.
Yeah, I was blown away, and it's just been great that go to one on how to do Instagram for your business, and the next class would be accounting for dummies, and just every one of them, they'd send out, hey, new class coming. Like, yep, I need that one. Like, let's do it. And
you got a master's degree in business.
it's definitely trial by fire, but I've loved it. That's great. Again, coming from that engineering background, like,
yeah,
I was trained to be a problem solver, mm-hmm. and I'm geared to figure things out, mm-hmm. but it has been a totally different set of challenges that I've been dealing with.
A little bit about the Adventure with Impact program and carbon offset. How do those programs work? And what was the, again, the same inspiration for those programs just come from one to make a smaller impact on the planet?
From the onset, as I mentioned, like, I was looking for a way to make a positive impact in mm-hmm. the world. And
that's the common theme I'm getting. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, kind of in tapping into that kind of Patagonia business for good. Right. And so from day one, I wanted that to be a big part of our mission. And so our mission is like helping people get outdoors while being good stewards for the environment and the community.
That's great.
Like if we don't take care of things, like, we're not going to be in business. Other people aren't going to be getting outdoors. Yeah. And there's obviously this common idea that the more people you get outdoors, the more environmentally minded people you've got. So mm-hmm, you just mm-hmm, need to mm-hmm. build that force and get people out there. So yeah, we created this Adventure with Impact, and that sort of refers to a kind of umbrella program. It has a few components, but it's just our way of our social impact mission. But so in that, there are kind of a couple of components. One is we do electric vehicle discounts for other EV owners. I've been able to actually buy 2 electric vehicles for our personal use. That's what my wife and I drive, because mm-hmm. now I've got a fleet of these other cars. I don't have to drive every day, but I get to use them. And I want to help incentivize other people to buy electric vehicles, because I think that's how you dramatically reduce your transportation emissions.
Yeah, that's right.
There's something like 60% of the carbon dioxide in the U.S. is from passenger vehicles.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, not surprised.
And so it's a huge chunk. And obviously, California, you know about it, the EV push. Colorado's really digging in on it, too. Yeah, so we offer 20% off a rental straight off the bat if you send us a picture of your electric vehicle. And I actually just had somebody book a trip yesterday with it. He's going on a 30-day trip in a camper van.
Wow.
And he just knocked off over $1,000 for having an electric vehicle.
That's great. Yeah. So are a lot of your customers other EV owners? Or what would you say the ratio is? EV?
Yeah, not really. Haven't fully tapped into that yet. He was only the second or third that's seen that on the website and took advantage of it. But have some plans to try to reach out to EV owners and be like, hey, is this a service you would value? And is this something that would incentivize you to buy more vehicles? And
yeah,
there's ideas I have of like partnering with car dealerships. If they're trying to make a sell on an EV, hey, by the way, you can get discounts for your mountain venture. Because that's the big challenge with the EVs right now, is they're just not rigged for the mountain. And that's fine. They don't need to be. Obviously, we got the Rivians coming out and the Cybertruck. Like, it'll get there. But in the short term, you still need a conventional SUV and truck to get you to the mountains. Mm-hmm. And so we provide that solution so you don't have to own them. So the other thing is that part of our Adventure with Impact is our carbon offset. And so it's fleet wide. And we've partnered with Colorado Carbon Fund, which is a local nonprofit that was actually originally started by the governor's office 10 years ago. And we're able to actually get a license plate. And then we do is they are working on regenerative agriculture practices and teaching farmers about the benefits and techniques behind it. And what's really cool is it's a local offset, in that we're all driving around in Denver metro area. These farmers are in kind of the surrounding metro area, and they can be a net sink for the carbon dioxide if they implement certain practices. So we basically figure out what each year our mileage will be, and then for each vehicle, and then buy that offset. And it's silly inexpensive. It's almost like a no-brainer. It's $80 a year.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that is a no-brainer.
Per car. Right.
It's, yeah, I just got to do it.
Yeah.
But what I love about it is it's local.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that we all need to be planting trees in the rainforest too. Right. But this is something that can be done right here, because Denver has one of the worst pollutions in the country. It's like 12th worst in the country.
Yeah, Denver and Salt Lake City. People don't think about that, but you get an inversion laying there.
Exactly.
Ooh, it's ugly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of, how do we fix that problem? Well, this is one way we do it. And again, we know that our vehicles are not the most fuel efficient, but we're offsetting them. And then the idea is 90% of the time you're driving a better vehicle and you have these meeting vehicles the times you need them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. They don't get the same use as a commuting vehicle. Yeah. That's awesome.
No.
Have you
and
checked?
Then kind of our third thing for that Adventure with Impact is our donation program. And what we do is we actually donate $5 for every day a car is out back to partner nonprofits.
Oh, wow.
And again, this was something I wanted, something very tangible and very specific tied to each trip and each customer. There's a lot of programs out there of like 1% for the planet, and that's great.
Right.
But I wanted something even more focused, right, and more tangible. And so what we do is basically tell everybody, yeah, hey, every day you're out, $5 is going to these nonprofits. And what we do is we partner with one at a time. And we do it
one
for
at
like
a time, meaning
six,
one for the month or one for the year, or how does it work?
Yeah, we have it a little bit flexible, but right now it's generally every 3 to 6 months. And we pick them and we put them on our website and say, this is the project your money's going to, your donation. Go touch it, go feel it, be a part of it. Right. And so one of our first ones was with Colorado Mountain Club, and they developed this app that would allow you to report different land management use issues. Oh. Hey, this trailhead's really full, or this tree's across the trail here, or XYZ. You could basically use this app, and then Colorado Mountain Club was collating it and then reporting that back to the land management.
That's good.
So that was one of those like, great, $5 is going a day is going back to help them develop the app. But also, hey, Rick, if you're out on a trip, download this app, go use it as well. And that was
that's multiple advantages
great one.
Yeah,
exactly. So we kind of cherry pick and handpick those partnerships that we feel like our customers will enjoy and will also make the biggest impact. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So have you checked out any of the electric, like the Rivian? Have you gotten up close and personal? I don't even know if you can. Can you see that?
Yeah. I got to see one at the OR show a couple of summers ago.
They had it
like behind a velvet rope. And
I remember that.
Yeah, I definitely am interested. And it was actually, we had a customer, that customer I've told you about that took like a 2-week trip over Christmas. He works at Rivian.
Oh.
So he and I have had a couple of conversations talking about the cars and how they might work in the rental fleet. And I'm very interested in seeing about acquiring some of those for the fleet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you see those? There's a couple of videos. There's a couple of guys that did a trip from South America to North America.
Yeah, the long way up.
The long way up. And then there's another one they're doing on bikes right now, or they're trying on motorcycles.
Yeah, the long way up was two, Ian McGregor and another guy. They rode electric Harley Davidsons.
Yeah, that's the one I saw. Yeah.
They were supported by the Rivians.
Yeah. Yeah.
The crew was in that. Yeah. So I've been watching that a little bit. Yeah. That one's nutty in terms of they had the first car that rolled off the lot for Rivian, like out of their testing lab.
Right.
And they sent it to South Africa or South America to drive up there.
And those bikes, too, Harley Davidson made those bikes from, ground up for those guys. That was pretty cool.
Amazing story. But that's the sort of stuff I love. And I think we need to be on the forefront there of looking at those vehicles.
Exactly. Yeah. So what do you plan?
I think to start with, it would be because of the charging issues on them just the potential anxiety. As an EV owner, I know that's pretty manageable, but I also haven't been doing an overland trip in them. I think to start with, we would require trip planning with those vehicles where we know, basically plan out your route and make sure that you're hitting the charging stations you need to.
Yeah, and you'd want to reinforce the fact that when it gets down to this mark on the odometer or on the voltometer, you don't have to worry about it. You're still good. You can go to XYZ. You don't have to worry about it until it gets to here. Maybe even paint a little mark on the truck or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
But I think it'd be really interesting. But the challenge is like one thing is those things are like, particularly those Rivian, they're like supercars. They've got 700 horsepower. They go to 0 to 60 in less than three seconds. Like, do I really want to be sending that out with customers?
Yeah, you got to have some grid insurance for that.
Yeah, so that'll be another challenge, but definitely we're investigating that heavily.
That's very cool. We're going to take a little break and give some love to our sponsor, Grammarly. If you write as much as I do, it's nice to have a little backup with spelling and grammar, and I love Grammarly. Their instant grammar checker corrects all grammar errors and even enhances your writing. To try it out, go to theoutdoorbizpodcast.com/grammarcheck and get signed up today. You can thank me later. That's theoutdoorbizpodcast.com/grammarcheck. Back to the show. So what are your plans for the future? Do you see yourself expanding to other metro areas like Salt Lake City maybe? Or
yeah, we certainly could see that happening if we want to. We want to win the Denver market first.
Makes sense. Yeah. Own your local.
We see that as a mix of out-of-state travelers coming to Denver.
Yep.
Denver gets 30 million people every year to come in, and a lot of them are looking to do outdoor activities. So we've got a huge pool to choose from there. But then we also really want to focus on the locals and changing the car ownership for Denver. And we think we could have hundreds of these vehicles just here in Denver.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a subscription model for frequent users.
That's a good idea.
And then a way to have vehicles located very close to where you are. And so not just having one location, but that enterprise model of like where your neighborhood.
Oh.
And once one thing is having these at apartment complexes, having these at the RTD stations, the transit stations. Mm-hmm. And so there's your shared economy solution for getting to the mountains. We sometimes call ourselves like the Uber of overlanding, where that shared economy idea.
Yeah, you could make an arrangement where some guy has your vehicle that is his daily vehicle, but he also is on the share program. So when you get a customer, they swap vehicles and they can go on their adventure and he uses their vehicle for the weekend. And
yeah, there's a ton of that peer-to-peer stuff going on. It's great in that, again, it's building a ton of awareness and traction behind the shared economy.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me argue is we want to be, how do you maximize efficiency from like an economic standpoint? Having individuals run the peer-to-peer model, I don't know if that's the most efficient. Whereas again, if we specialize, this is what we do. We're really good at cleaning cars. We're really good at making sure they're maintained. But I'd have some concern of Bob down the road with a 4Runner. How's he maintaining it? What's all?
Or he forgot to fill up the tank before he got home. And here's your car, but you got to get going or whatever it might be.
But there's definitely levers and knobs to turn there to grow the fleet. And,
That's very cool. Yeah. Do you have any corporate clients?
We've worked with some hotels and apartment complexes. We've started doing that a little bit. And we do have plans to approach businesses to make our service an employee benefit, actually.
Yeah.
And how do you keep your software engineers from burnout? Well, you give them a weekend and a mountain getaway. And so that's definitely
Businesses that have moved to the Denver metro area. There's a lot of opportunity there for those folks.
Yep. And a lot of them, we just see there's so much influx for people that are moving to Denver from other states.
Right.
And they show up in their Camry, which is fine. That was all they needed in Florida.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, that doesn't work here. And then what we want to do is get to them before they go buy their 4Runner and say, wait, you don't need to go buy that 4Runner.
Yeah.
Go buy your Nissan Leaf, and then we've got your 4Runner when you need it.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Partnering with some car dealerships sounds like a great idea. I look forward to that. Yeah. How has COVID impacted you guys?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed blessing. We were obviously totally shut down last March, April, May, so that whole sort of spring camping season didn't really happen. But then we really saw a switch turn on in June, where people saw what the pandemic was doing, what the risk levels were involved, and they said, yeah, I think camping is the way to go. And then we just got slammed.
Yeah.
It was great. People were just wanting to get out there, and we were right there to help them, particularly the people who hadn't camped in years. Yeah, we had a really fun summer. We had two wedding proposals. We had a father-son drive from Washington, D.C. because we went out, we need out. And they drove here, got in one of our trucks and had a great trip. Yeah. But we did see a lot of people flying too. We were about 50-50 in-state versus out-of-state, even during the pandemic. And, and people would land and their flights were super cheap. And I'd ask them like, what was the traffic? What was it like in Denver? They're like, Denver was packed. And so we were even, anecdotally hearing that, Denver was still a destination travel hub.
Yeah.
I had a family, they flew from Atlanta, which is normally the busiest airport in the world or the country. and they're like, Atlanta was dead, Denver was happening.
So everybody was coming to Denver to get to the outside. We had that here in Bishop, but they were all driving up from LA to go hiking and whatnot. It was just overrun with people, which is in some ways good. And the challenge is we got to make sure that these folks know how to behave in the, not behave, but how to act with minimum impact in the outdoors.
So. Yeah, what's the right etiquette? Yeah, and that was a big, definitely something we take very seriously is that education piece. Yeah. And so we... It, with each vehicle, we have a binder that we created that not only shows you sort of, hey, here's how to operate the four-wheel drive system. Here's how to put the rear differential locker on. And here's how to set up the table. But it also has leave no trace practices, different kind of backcountry etiquette. And that was a huge piece of, the 2020 summer was we were making sure our customers were acting correctly and appropriately. Mm-hmm. But they'd come back and be like, oh, we just saw so much misuse, and that was tough to hear. But where we were able to send our customers, they were able to avoid a lot of that kind of.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, good stuff. To follow all the off the beaten path spots. Yeah, when give us your perspective on when you think travel will start again once we get the vaccine all distributed, and what are your thoughts on that?
I'm already starting to see it. Both my parents and my in-laws have been flying. They're like, as soon as they got vaccinated, they're like, we're coming to see the grandkids.
So that makes sense.
My mom flew in last week. My in-laws are coming in about a month. So if nothing else, the grandparents are flying because they're just so anxious to see the family.
Yeah.
But I would, as I alluded to, I would argue Denver really had a dip, but it was strong even in 2020.
Not much. Interesting.
And I think 2021 is, we're playing on another strong year for kind of domestic local travel with an outdoor focus, similar to what we saw in 2020. We've almost tripled our fleet, and international travel, I suspect, will maybe start picking up at the end of the year. And that's a mixed blessing again, because now people that might go on my trips will now be doing their European vacation that they've put off for 2 years.
Right.
But the flip side is, then we'll start getting international travel.
Yeah, there'll be other people. Yeah. You'll have, I think you'll have a steady stream of customers.
Yeah. But it's just funny. We started at the middle of 2019 with one vehicle. So we had like one car out, and then 2020, like, that was not a normal year. So we really haven't had a normal year of operations. Like, I don't know what a normal is.
Right. How many vehicles do you have now?
We have 8 now. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're anxious to see what normal looks like. I don't know. I think it might take us a while to figure out what normal is.
That's right. Yeah, I'm not expecting 2021 to be a normal year, but it's just been interesting from a business modeling and forecasting standpoint. I'm like, all right, how do I look 5 years in the future when the last 2 years have been completely bananas to look at? Like, how do I make any projections based on that?
tough for business planning.
But again, I feel incredibly fortunate to be in this space because people are loving these, RV, camper van, travel, camping trips.
Yeah, your timing is perfect. Yeah.
It couldn't be better. Yeah. And so we're excited to get this season. We're already seeing a ton of bookings coming in for spring trips and summer trips. Somebody's even booked like an October trip already.
Oh, cool. Yeah, good.
So the calendar's filling up.
Good for you. And do you still get outside? What outdoor activities? Do you still get out to hunt and play with the kids outside, hike?
Yeah, I do. I've been real fortunate to be able to continue a lot of that stuff. Right now, I tend to get these little pockets of downtime. I can look at my booking calendar. Ooh, here's a 2-day window where we'll take this car and go out. And so mostly it's heading out with my family on a camping trip, or last weekend we went and did a yurt trip in the winter. And it's a work trip. And because I'm scouting areas for other customers, we're getting content with pictures and cars and that lifestyle. So that's been just one of the real blessings is like, all right, we're going to go camping as a family, and it's partly business.
That's great. Yeah.
And getting out of that for that. And I've been skiing a lot with the kids and this winter, and actually heading to Bluebird Backcountry this weekend.
Oh,
they're
fun.
One of the only inbound backcountry ski areas. So I'm excited to check that out year.
Good for you. Yeah. Do you have any suggestions or advice for folks wanting to get into the outdoor adventure biz?
Yeah, you could go my route and just start this own company and create it. That's not fair.
You might have some people reaching out to franchise your operation around the country. That would be an interesting opportunity.
Yep, that's certainly something we've considered. The other thing that I've done is I've actually hired interns the last couple summers. Mm, cool. And these are MBA students at CU Boulder. Mm-hmm. They have a kind of an outdoor program, yep. Mm-hmm. Or outdoor club in the MBA program specifically. So that's been a great, I think, opportunity for them. The people that they're eager to get into the outdoor industry. They're coming at it from obviously the business MBA standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I'm able to, I don't pay them it very much, but they get to go take out cars and have fun, but also build their own program with me. Of, hey, I really want to focus on a marketing angle. All right, you help write that intern description so that get what you want out of it, so that at the end of their time with me, they can come out with a very strong resume of like
super smart.
What all they did.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think that's one of the benefits a small business can really offer is, look, you're going to be a part of every decision. You're going to run the social media accounts. Yeah. You're doing this. And they wouldn't get that opportunity.
You get to wash the car today. You're doing it all.
That is the truth. Yeah. Some days it's, just slugging away at car washing. But
that's great.
It works well for me in that the operations is hit or miss in terms of, some days we're washing cars, some days they're all out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so these interns can have set business projects to work on during the downtime, but then we all jump on to the operation turnover when we need to.
That's good for them to see too, the elbow grease that's required to do some of these things, because you don't always get that in business school or in college. And sometimes I can remember days on the river. You get back from a river trip and there's 3 days of trips to clean up that we just didn't have time to clean up. And
they get to interface with the customers, that's which is too. Kind of that's the most fun, is like when people come back, they're just ear to ear grinning. That was the best trip I've had in years. And so when we all get to experience that, then you're all right, now I get why we're screwing cars and puts it all together.
Do you have a favorite piece of outdoor gear that's under $100?
One thing that I just bought a ton more of them are propane fire pits.
Oh, interesting.
We've been sending those out with every customer almost. Uh-huh. And what's really slick about them is you can use them up to stage 2 fire ban because they're a liquid fuel source. Uh-huh. So we send them out with, depending on the length of trip, you can run it on a 5-pound tank. You get maybe a couple of hours out of it, or you 10-pound and then a 20-pounder. So depending on the length of trip, we'll change what propane tank. But they're around $100, and everybody this summer we sent them out with because there were fire bans and people.
That's good advice. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
What was great was customers knew about it too. They're like, they would be flying from out of state. Ah, we don't want to be that person lighting a fire. Yeah. We're really nervous about it. Yeah, that's great. Here's what you can do is our propane fire pits. And
we have the same thing here. That's really fire dangerous. It happens every year.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's not going to change. So I just bought a boatload more of them.
Which ones do you buy?
I have two varieties. One is from Camp Chef. That's a fairly small portable one that's got a little bag that it zips into. Uh-huh. And then I also have one that I've bought at Lowe's a couple times. It's a little bigger, still maybe 18 inches in diameter. Mm-hmm. And it's got like a lid that snaps on with a handle.
Okay.
Yeah. So it depends on if it's a big group, we need to be conservative on space. So I'll send them with a smaller fire pit. But if they've got space, I'll toss in the bigger fire pit.
Cool.
So they have a little bit more heat there. But they've all got like the lava rocks.
Yeah. Those Camp Chef guys make good stuff. Kent's been on the show before. Yeah.
Yep. And people have just been loving them coming back. I was expecting a little bit of pushback. Like, I just really want that campfire. And it's true. It's nice to have a campfire, but the real benefit of these things is a couple. One is you don't have that smoke smell. So on my cars,
you have to move around.
I'm not dealing with the smell of the smoke and the tent and the cars all the time.
Yeah.
People like that you can just turn it on in the morning real fast.
Yeah.
Like you want instant heat. Mm. I had one guy, his Coleman stove that I sent him with, one of the valve or something went out on it. Oh. He didn't even call me to tell me about it. He cooked on this Camp Chef fire pit the whole time. And he sent me these pictures. And he had a cast iron skillet that we just sent him with. And he was making these like gourmet meals on top of this fire pit. I was blown away.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. That's a good idea. Yeah, that's awesome. As we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to say or ask of our listeners?
Yeah, I would say help us spread the word.
Yeah.
It's not common knowledge that you can rent sort of a turnkey adventure vehicle. And most of my efforts have been really on the marketing side of things, just getting the message out there. And so anything people can do to help is great. And we want to help your listeners out too and come and experience a trip with us so they can get a taste of it. So yeah, we want to offer 15% off for your listeners. And we've got a code that you can plug in that will get you that discount for a trip to come and experience it and then sell it to your local crowd.
Cool. Yeah. All you outdoor folks, it's OutdoorBiz15. Good for any trips booked before June 1. Trip can happen later, but you got to book by June 1. Yeah. Let's share this up because are you going to be at the outdoor show? I think it moved to August. Are you going to be there this year?
Right. Yeah. I saw that. Busy. Yeah. We'll be walking it. Yeah. We'll be displaying there, but yeah, definitely we'll be there. And you know, it's great. We love to go and check out products, you know, because a big piece. So what we want to do is we want to provide the best gear possible.
Right.
And so a lot of it is, finding new gear and how would we want to add to our fleet. And so we love walking that show.
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, let's share it up and get Travis some business. And where can people find you if they want to follow you? Is email on your website the best way?
Yeah, the email I think on our website is our general info, but you can email me directly just at travis@tacrentals.com, TAC Rentals. We're on, obviously, Instagram and some of those other social media outlets, too.
So we'll link to all that in the show notes, and we'll put that discount up there for folks. It's been great talking with you, Travis. I look forward to meeting you maybe at OR or come and do a trip sometime. That'd be fun.
There you go. You bet, man. Yeah, it's been great chatting with you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Outdoor Biz Podcast. Be sure to visit our website, theoutdoorbizpodcast.com, where you'll find show notes with links to everything we talked about and more. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or spread the word and tell a friend about the show. That would really help us out too. Be sure to tune in every week. And thanks again for listening to the Outdoor Biz Podcast with Rick Saez.